take a moment, all stand. I know it's afternoon. Let's all stand and sing the first verse of number 315. As are your prayers this afternoon as we look into the Scripture, I'd like us to turn over to John chapter 20, verse 21. Written the burden the Lord's put on my heart on the board, it said, "So send I you." John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them, and He was speaking to His disciples, "And I believe that the burden, that the message this afternoon is from the Holy Spirit, and it is to the disciples that are right here in this congregation today. Jesus said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" I am thankful that Jesus, when He speaks to us, He speaks in words of comfort. Sometimes if you feel like that there's a critical spirit that is oppressing you, that is one of the signs that it is the enemy at work. When the Lord speaks to us, He speaks to us to draw us to a closer relationship. And He not only tells us the problem, He gives us the solution. Some people are very good about telling you your problems, but they don't have the solution. The Lord, when He deals with us in our life, He has solutions. He has answers for us. Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Peace be unto you." In other words, the things I'm going to speak to you and minister to you, I'm coming with goodwill for you. He said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." The Lord has a commission for each and every one of us this afternoon. Jesus said, "Even as my Father has sent me." I'd like us to consider for a few moments this afternoon the life of Jesus. When Jesus was just a child, remember at age 12, wasn't it? He was out talking to some of the scribes and those in the temple. And when He was called on it by His parents because He wasn't with them, He said, "I must be about my Father's business. Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" In other words, there is a greater call and a greater purpose that my Father God has for me to do. Jesus' life was one of dedication. Would you acknowledge that this afternoon? Jesus was dedicated to His Father's business. He had a purpose to life. He had an aim and a goal, and I would say Jesus had ambition, wouldn't you? You see, sometimes we talk about among us as if ambition is wrong. Ambition is not wrong if it is focused and centered on God's purpose, in God's will, in God's plan. Jesus was someone who is dedicated. And folks, when you find someone that's really dedicated, you're going to find they make sacrifices to attain their goal, won't they? Well, Jesus did that, didn't He? His life was one of sacrifice. He denied the pleasures of the flesh to fulfill the purpose of the Father. Jesus experienced rejection in life. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't like what Jesus had to say. There were people, when they heard Jesus teach and preach, they walked away from Him. Jesus, in His life, did not compromise the integrity of truth to gain the multitudes. Jesus did not minister with a lot of bands and loud flashy music or loud flashy lights to draw on the multitude. He allowed the simple gospel message to be the one that drew honest hearts. And Jesus could have ministered and drawn people with the things of His flesh, but He was not willing to do that because He was about His Father's business. Jesus, the Scripture says that He went about doing good. He fed the hungry. He ministered to the poor. He ministered to people that were not able to pay Him back. You know, it's all right to have someone over for dinner. They say, well, okay, I had you last time out. You know, your turn to have me over to your place. Jesus fed people that didn't have Him over. Jesus gave to people that could not return. Jesus blessed people who really didn't have a lot to offer. That was the life of Christ. Because He was about His Father's business. Jesus was made fun of. Was He not? Doesn't the Scripture say that Jesus was mocked? Because of His purpose. Because of the gospel. Because of who He claimed to be. And His ministry of love and hope. He was made fun of. Jesus' life was motivated by love for you and me. When we were yet sinners, see, Jesus did not, He said, we read it the other night, or mentioned it the other night, but Jesus came to minister to those that were sick. Do you know some people have a special gift for ministering to the sick? And there are some jobs people do, I think, oh Lord bless you. The same way with people that teach small children. I'd rather teach adults or something because there's a level of ministry that you have for young children that not all of us are blessed with. But see, Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus ministered to whoever He came in contact with. Jesus was no respecter of persons. Jesus was there to minister to people that had needs. He was there to, figuratively speaking, see, when you're sick, there are unpleasant things that need to be dealt with. And in your marriages, sometimes you figure out who can handle it the best. But you see, when you have sick children, it's not real pleasant. And when you care for sick people, there are things that need to be done. Jesus came to minister to those that were sick. It's not attractive to minister to the sick. It's not something that you jump up and down and say, that's exciting. Let me go clean up the mess. But it's something that you do because someone has to do it. And I know there have been times, Lord help, when my children have had needs that need to be taken care of, and I couldn't hardly do it when we were about both sick. But do you know that Jesus, because of His love for us in our sick condition, He was not afraid to reach out and minister to us. It's like the man with leprosy that came to Jesus. And Jesus reached out to touch the leper. He violated the law of Moses. Because according to the law of Moses, you're not to touch any unclean thing. But yet my Lord was one that came because He loved the leper so much. He was willing to be able to reach out and touch him. Someone that had not felt human touch probably for many years, that didn't have someone to come up and give them a hug because they were unclean. But my Lord's love superseded uncleanness. That He was not afraid to reach out and touch those that were hurting. And I can still hear Peter in the background, and this is just speculation, saying, Lord, don't touch him! Just like Peter usually did. He was ready to jump in and tell Jesus what he should and shouldn't do sometimes. Lord, don't touch the leper! Jesus said, it's okay, Peter. It's all right. I'm going to minister to him. That was the life of our Lord, folks. As the Father has sent me. Do you think Jesus had a good life? Have you ever really thought about that? Did Jesus have a good life? Depends on how you measure it, isn't it? Jesus' life was one of ridicule, it was one of rejection, it was one of sacrifice, it was one of death, it was one of helping sick people, It was one of ministering to people that couldn't pay him back. Did he have a good life? What do you think? In the flesh, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man hath not. Hath nowhere to lay his head." You know, foxes have holes and birds have nests. Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. And if we measure his life by the standard that the world measures success, Jesus was the ultimate failure. He was the ultimate failure. Because what did he have to show for it in the things of this world? But folks, Jesus, in spiritual things, he was the ultimate success, was he not? That through death and through his resurrection, he conquered sin and he gave hope to thousands and millions of people that were sick in sin. Through the denial and the sacrifice of the life of Christ, we then have hope today. You want to be a success this afternoon? You want to be successful? Young people, you think about your dreams and your plans and your purposes for life. We say, "I want to be successful." How are we going to measure true success today? Folks, Jesus came with a mission and he accomplished it. He came with a mission and a dedicated purpose to minister to people that had needs, and God blessed him. And I believe that Jesus was fulfilled in what he did. Why was he fulfilled? It wasn't because of the accolades of the crowds. It wasn't because, see, one day the people said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And then just a few days later, those same people were saying, "Crucifying." You want to be a success? It's not dependent upon what the people say. It's not dependent upon one day someone says, "That was a good message." And the next day they're stabbing me in the back saying, "Why did you do that?" See, that's not where success is measured, is it? Well, why did you go out and do that? Folks, success is measured by how much we fulfill God's purpose in our life. It's not measured on the standard that the world uses to measure success. How much do you get paid? Does that make us the most successful here, the one that gets paid the most? Or the one that has the fewest children, or the most children, or what job I have, or how many people know your name? Is that what success is? That's not true success this afternoon. But true success is having the purpose that God sent Jesus with. He said, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." Sacrifice. Denial. Ministering to people that are unattractive to minister to. People that can't pay you back. When you spend and spend and spend and spend some more of your time and your energy and your time, all of those things, and yet you don't get a material return on it. Jesus is saying to us today, "So send I you." Have you been sent today? I will say, all of us this afternoon that know the Lord, we are a commissioned people today. We have a job to do. We have a purpose to fulfill. Jesus said over in Matthew 4, in the 34th verse, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." This was my commission. This is my goal. This is my ambition in life, is to fulfill the purpose of my Father. And now the Lord is saying, "So send I you." And Jesus said, "Say not." Lord, help us not to say it today. "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Jesus said, "I'm doing the work of God. I'm fulfilling the purpose that he sent me forth." But he told his disciples, "I want you to look around you. And I want you to know that there is a work for you to do." This afternoon, there is a work for each and every one of us to do in the kingdom of God. That should be our ultimate goal, and our ultimate purpose is to fulfill the will of God in our life. "So send I you." Jesus went out with a message of hope. And he did it through sacrifice. Is not Christ supposed to be our model? Someone tell me what the word Christian means. Christ-like. Well, means to follow in the example of Christ. Does that mean just in the theological understanding that we have this afternoon? Does that mean we're Christians then? Because I got the theology down and I believe I've got it right like the Bible says in my understanding. Folks, to be Christ-like is to let theology of the Scripture be lived out in our life. That's what it means to truly be Christ-like. It's not enough this afternoon for us just to have the head knowledge or understanding of how the Lord wants us to live. Folks, the Lord said, so send I you. I'm sending you out. That word send means to impel or to dispatch. It means it can't be done in an easy chair. Because if we're Christ-like and we're following His example, and Jesus said, even as the Father sent me, so send I you, it means that the Lord is calling for us to go out in a life of dedicated purpose and sacrifice, willing to deny ourselves to minister hope to this lost world. And if we say people aren't interested anymore, if it's dark out, won't your light shine brighter? He said, don't say that there's another time. He said, look around you. Folks, there is work to do right where you are at today. There is work to do. And our job and our commission is not to separate my material life, my temporal life, from my walk with God. All right, I get up in the morning and I'm going to work. And so that's work. And then Sunday I'll go to church. That's God's time at church. But when I go to work, I'm just trying to make a living. And I go to school Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, or however y'all do it here. But when you go to school, whatever days you go, you say, this is now I'm going to school. And I separate that. And church is God's time. And this is school over here. Jesus' whole life was dedicated to the purpose of fulfilling the will of His Father. This afternoon in school, at work, when you go to the store, as you raise your children, our purpose of life should be, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose in everything that I do. And so then when I go to work, you're going out on your mission fields. When you go to school, you're going to be an example and let God use you at school. But too many times we start to divide up this in categories, what's God's time and what's my time. And the Lord's calling for us to let all of our time, our goals, our purpose, and our aims to be His. As the Father sent me, so send I you. We ought to be a people with purpose tonight. Do you know what happens if we lose our purpose? If we lose purpose, the purpose of God's work, furthering His kingdom, ministering to hope, I'll tell you what starts to happen. We start to die from within. Because if we're Christians, if we're being Christ-like, it means we are being sent. It means that we are doing for the Lord in everything that we do. This is God's now. It's sanctified. I want God's purpose to be fulfilled. And when we lose our purpose, people that lose purpose, they get aimless. And they lose their way. And they self-destruct. It's so much easier to criticize someone if I'm sitting in my easy chair doing nothing. Sit back and just observe what people are doing. It's like, why are you doing that? You shouldn't have done that. Don't touch the leper. Jesus said, so send I you. Let's get up. And let's not be so quick, Lord help us, to be critical of those that touch the leper. Let's not be so quick to judge, because you know what? I believe, I'll just speak my heart here, I believe sometimes people would do better if they knew better. And I believe that there are some things that in this generation we are going to have to relearn how to go out. Because there have been those in the past that have not fulfilled the commission like the Lord wanted them to. And it means as we give our hearts and our lives and our times and let our purpose be the Father's, it means we might make some mistakes along the way. We might make some mistakes. But would not it be better to make a mistake doing than sitting back and not making a mistake by doing nothing? When the Lord said, I send you. I send you out to do the will of the Father. We won't read it. I believe it's pretty. Most of you know the scripture. But what does it profit? It's found over in the book of James. What does it profit a man if he sees someone that's hungry? He says, oh brother, be warmed and filled. I'm praying for you. You know how easy it is for us to say it. Oh, it's honest. You see someone in need, I'll pray for you. And you pat them on the head. And you go your way. And okay, that's all there is to it. I'm praying for him. But James said, that's not real faith. He said, faith without works is what? It's dead. Folks, I don't want to have a dead faith this afternoon. I don't want my experience with God to be limited to head knowledge. I don't want my understanding of my Christianity to just stop within these four walls. Do you know that to be sent means when we come to service, this is for a time to minister. This is a place that we can come to encourage one another, that we can be strengthened to go out and get to work for God. But if we see this here this afternoon as doing the work of God, and then tomorrow I'm going back to normal life, to my job and my school and washing my laundry, and that's just life, I'm going to miss out on the commission that the Lord has given. He said, I send you with purpose. Which means then that when we come together, it's why it's important to come when we have services. It's imperative that we do that. But folks, that ought to just be the beginning of our work for God. That now we are fortified and strengthened to go out and do the work that the Lord has for us to do. He said, I send you out. When do we do it? When do we go? Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. When do we do it? Book over in Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter, he said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Moving on down to verse 4, it said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. And then in verse 6, he said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You know this afternoon that it is not our job, it is not our purpose to look on the condition of the world and dictate when we need to go. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And if we look at conditions around us, we're going to oftentimes find a reason why we can't do God's work. But too many times our other goals and our other purposes are interfering with the call of God. Can we acknowledge that today? Is that not true for many of us? That many times God's work is suffering because too much of our time and energy and money and ambitions are focused on the things of this life. And they're not sinful things. But too many times that's where our eyes are on, and the Lord wants us to get our eyes on a higher purpose this afternoon. afternoon. And if you can just take this home with you today, that there is a higher calling and a higher purpose for God's people than to come and sit in our easy chair and hear the gospel and measure in our heart and do nothing. The Lord wants us to rise up and measure the truth and righteousness that we would be equipped to go out and minister to a world that's hurting today. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. But let's not be guilty of saying it's not a convenient time. You know what I find? It's never convenient. Because when you first get... Well, I've married a wife. You know, I'm too young. I'm too young. You know what I found? It's my personal experience. I'm getting in that middle range now. I'm not young and I'm not old. I'm just kind of there. So I think I hope I have a little perspective of some of it at least. But when you're young, you think, I don't have the experience. But you've got the energy and the strength and the zeal. But when you get old, you may have the experience, but you don't have the strength to do it anymore. So who's going to do it? When the Lord puts it on your heart that God has a job for all of us to do. And your job is different than my job, but... As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Go forward and do what the Lord has put in your path with the same purpose, with the same zeal, with the same willingness to sacrifice and consecrate for those that have needs around about us. Heard Brother James Bell said last week, he made this statement. He said, if we hold on to all that God gives us, we're going to become spiritually obese. That's pretty good. If we hold on to all that God gives us, we're going to become spiritually obese. We need to distribute, folks. We need to give out. We've got a stockpile of truth back there. We've got a stockpile of understanding. Folks, I believe today we have the answers that the world needs. And it's not through psychology. It's not because of our history. But as we understand the ministry and the hope of Jesus Christ, that's what the world needs. Amen. So if we just take it and consume it and feed on it, folks, we're going to burst if we don't distribute some of it. We're going to self-destruct. We need to ask God, Lord, help me to see that avenue of ministry that you would have me to labor in. And you may say, well, the Lord's not calling me way over there. The Lord has called you right where you're at then. The Lord has, and if God has blessed you with a good job, can we use that good job for this furtherance of the kingdom of God? Can we use what God has blessed us with materially to see the kingdom of God advance? I say we can. That means wherever God has called us, now no longer do I differentiate between God's stuff and my stuff in the time I'll give to God. Folks, it goes beyond saying, I'll give God an hour here, or I'll give God a 20 over here. You know, 20 doesn't do much anymore, does it? People feel so sacrificial sometimes with a 20. He doesn't do much anymore. You understand? There is a place of sacrifice in our life, in our time. An hour compared to how many hours in the day? And we feel so good. I gave an hour this week and I went and did something for the Lord. Don't stop doing it. Don't stop doing it. But I want to encourage us this afternoon. Our whole life should be, Lord, your cause, your purpose. Your aim, Lord, and then help us to be willing, as Jesus set the example, to sacrifice and to give. And as he went out, he was willing to be mocked. And he was willing to be made fun of. Young people, all of us today, when we go out in the world to share the gospel and to try to be a light to this lost world, we're going to be different. We're going to look different if we're doing what the Lord wants us. We're going to look different. We're not going to do the same things the world does. Are we willing to go out like Jesus was and be made fun of sometimes? And be misunderstood? But do you know there's such a fulfillment in the Lord by being able to commit yourself in His hands, saying, Lord, by your grace, I'm fulfilling your commission. And that means that when you start working for God, and folks, it extends to every area of ministry. If you minister on the job to get money to support God's work, that's a ministry. If you visit those that are sick, that's a ministry. If you call those that need encouragement, that's a ministry. If you go to a foreign land, that's a ministry. But there's a ministry for all of us. There is a work for us to do. And we need not be afraid of the world today, folks. The Scripture says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And if you have been washed in the blood and have the Holy Spirit, you ought to be able to go out in the world and be uncontaminated by it to take a message of hope to them. But isn't that what Jesus did? He was a friend to sinners. But understand the difference. Jesus never compromised truth to reach out to sinners. Didn't do it. And there is an area that the enemy is at work at today with this whole philosophy saying we need to reach out to the world, so we need to get on their level. Folks, that is a doctrine from hell, because not only it won't save the world, it'll pull us down with them. What we need to do is rise above the world in holiness and purity with the grace of God and go and extend our hand that we might lift the world up, that they could be like Jesus Christ. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. The work of God is usually not very glamorous. Do you know that? It's not very glamorous. I will say you do the work of God and you will find it's underpaid, underappreciated, and not glamorous. But I want to tell you, who are we trying to satisfy? Who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to seek their approval on our life? Is not it the Father that sent us? As the Father has sent me, so send I you. I'd like to conclude over in Psalms in the 90th chapter. Psalms 90, beginning with verse 16. He said here, let thy work, and this should be our prayer. I would that this be our prayer this afternoon. He said, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Lord, would you let your work appear unto your servants this afternoon? Folks, we are a commissioned people. God has a place of service for each and every one of us to fill. You do not have to fill the job that your brother or sister in the Lord is fulfilling. God has a unique place for each one of us to fill. But the point is this afternoon, that the Lord has sent us. We need to lift up our eyes, because there is work in front of us for us to do this afternoon. Folks, let's pray and ask God's work to be made known to us. Are there areas in our life that as we leave this meeting, this is the last service of this little revival, and there's so much more the Lord wants to communicate to us. But are there areas in our life that we can go home seeking the Lord? Father, help me to be more dedicated, to see your work, to be more aware of the place that you have me to fill, the things that you have me to do. Because folks, Jesus is our example. And he said, even as the Father hath sent me, he said, even so send I you. Folks, you have been commissioned today. And it's only up to those that are going to answer the call to respond. And if there's not sacrifice, if there's not devotion, if this does not take priority in your life, I will say we are living below the commandment of Jesus Christ. We are a commissioned people. Folks, the work of God is rewarding in spirit. And I will say, when you are doing the work that God has called you to do, there is no greater fulfillment even in this life. And that means that even when it's hard, and it's not glamorous, and it's hurt, and there's a lot of things that go with the work of the Lord. But I will say for all of us, when you do it, there's really nothing else that's going to satisfy your soul, because there is a contentment in being in the center of God's will. And being in the center of will for His church is for His church not to be what's in these four walls. God's church contains those that, yes, we come together, but this is just where we gain strength and minister to each other that we can go out and do the work of God, a commissioned people with purpose, dedication, and sacrifice. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen.